The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yes or no? Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
I had no prior knowledge of the planned assault on Nancy Kerrigan.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Hi, it's Oops the Podcast. We're back. And listen, thank you for being here with us. Can you guys go and review and rate the podcast? If you haven't done that and you're a regular listener, it would really help us. I'm a little angry that people haven't done that. A lot of people out there, just please go to the iTunes thing and then do that. That would be great.
This is like when in class, the teacher yells at the half of the class who did something wrong and the class who did something, part of the class that did something right, just like bears the brunt of that and are mad at their classmates.
Sucks.
So thank you to everyone who has done it. Everyone who hasn't done it.
Thank you to everyone who isn't smoking cigarettes in the bathroom during class. All right, everybody. We're here. I'm back from Jamaica. Julio is back from California.
California.
Julio saw that I was going somewhere, so immediately he knew that that meant he had to go somewhere. Julio lives in this perpetual travel dick measuring contest with me.
Is that how you feel?
I think that you are you travel like George Clooney in that movie Up in the Air.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Was that what it's called?
Yeah, that was what it's called.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. I mean, dude, you still went somewhere way better. So like,
your place looked pretty
it's
cool.
Not a dick measure.
You had a putting green in the back
of
the
house. It
was
cool. I mean, we went on totally different trips. I went to like chill with my girlfriend's family, which was great and relaxing and easy and, awesome.
Sure, sure.
But dude, it looked like you got ripped up by El Soleil.
It's so preposterous that this keeps happening to me because I am now fully aware of the sun's effect on aging and how, you look worse when you get sunburned.
Gotta stay out of the sun.
I have no interest in welcoming. I'm not trying to get sunburned. I try to do everything that I can.
Dude, you looked like you were pretty lazy with the spray because you looked like a fucking albino leopard.
It looked like I had a birthmark all over my body. It was so inconsistent.
It was crazy.
And here's the thing, right? So here's what happened. The first day, it was the first day. We arrived at 4 p.m., 5 p.m.
So you got that late day sun in?
Well, yeah. And it's the Caribbean sun, which is just a totally different level.
Yeah.
So we're down there and we go, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm just going to go chill by the pool, whatever. And there was a palm tree covering my lounge chair, but palm trees sway in the breeze.
Yeah. But dude, why don't you get the umbrella guy?
This particular place didn't have the umbrellas. I think we were on the beach day.
Got it.
And so the swaying of the branches or something, it came through dappled, dappled sunlight.
Yeah.
And so that's what created that mottled, looked like I was wearing a tie-dye t-shirt.
Like the 5 p.m. sun at the Australian Open, dude.
Yeah, like took someone...
Half of the court.
Someone took a big vat of battery acid and just threw it at me and created modern art with my body.
Dude, you look like you had an afternoon in the sauna in an air fryer.
Yeah.
You looked crazy.
It was bad. And it was bad. And this has happened to me before. So again, first day, it was my wake up call. And it sucks because then for the rest of the trip, you are so much more nervous about the sun. I don't like to burn on top of a burn.
Yeah.
So I then spent the rest of the entire vacation in the shade.
Dude, I got to say your Instagram stories were pretty funny.
So weird. I don't know why.
Dude, you need to go more places, dude. Like anytime you go anywhere, it's like pretty funny. It's pretty golden. You're good at maximizing any time you leave your house.
Well, I appreciate that. However, it was such an important thing for me not to be on my phone this trip. And guess what my average screen time was for the five days that I was down there?
I'll tell you what, if it was low, I'll be surprised before I answer this, because A, you were very responsive. When we like texted, you were like answering me right away, and you were crushing the IG story game. So I would guess that you were over 3 hours, but it's sounding like maybe I'm wrong.
1 hour and 20 minutes per day. And I had 2 days, the last 2 days there, that were sub 50 minutes.
Crazy, dude.
Under 50 minutes.
Dude, that's funny. I mean, at that point, you're part of the elite in the world who like didn't hear about some catastrophic thing happening.
Let me tell you something. To be under an hour, I had to leave my phone. I left my phone in the room, which was on at the far end of the resort. This resort was 50 acres.
It's great.
It's big.
It's great.
And it was a long walk from our room to the place that we hung out all day. And we would go to breakfast in the morning, and I would just leave my phone in the room. And then I wouldn't, there was a couple days where I didn't see it again until 6 p.m.
That's great. That's really.
Do you know how many pages of your book you read when you don't have your phone?
I mean, that implies that you brought a book. You were doing some poolside reading.
Of course I brought a book.
I know, but you know, that's not obvious. I mean, I guess it is because it's you maybe, but like.
I read about 100 pages a day, which is the right amount, I think.
That's a lot of pages.
It's really nice.
Dude, it's funny. Really like nice. When I am at a place like that, I do like children's activities. I like go in the kids' pool where they have like the wildlife.
That's fun.
And I'm like, and then I jump off the thing with all the kids. Like,
great.
I need to like do more adult shit. I feel like you're my dad or something.
No.
Run along, son.
I had a good book. I've plugged it last episode, I think. It's Phil Clay. Is the author. It's called Missionaries. He's a former Marine and is a novel. He wrote Redeployment, which is a collection of short stories that won the Man Booker Prize. This is his first full novel, and it's spectacular. It's about like special forces operations in Colombia and kind of military contractors and wartime stuff. It's really great.
It's very cool.
I've got about 20 pages left. Anyway, book plug over. You mentioned cultural things, right?
Yes.
On trips. There weren't the height of culture on this trip. Nobody could leave the resort, really.
You weren't allowed to leave the resort at all?
You could, but it's not as if there were easy transportation opportunities.
But is there, like, don't they have taxis in the front of the hotel or no?
No. This hotel was really its own thing.
That's cool.
It was like its own jurisdiction.
Interesting.
You know, crazy security gate to get on and off. And then once you were there, nobody left.
Right.
And in normal times, I think they have two or three restaurants that are open and you can choose where you eat.
At the resort.
But because it was so quiet, I mean, the day we arrived there, it was us and then I think two other couples, and that was everybody staying on the resort night.
How do you know what percentage of capacity?
Well, at least for the first two nights, it was less than 10%.
That's crazy.
But then, because it was Valentine's Day weekend and President's Day weekend, by Friday, it had
started filling
become
up.
Much more full. But even then, this place, it's called Goldeneye in Jamaica. And I'm hesitant to even plug it. I have mixed feelings about this trip.
Interesting.
About this resort.
Go on.
All right. I'm trying to tell this whole story in order. But here's the thing. Okay. So we arrived. And keep in mind, we had been building this trip up in our minds for 14 months. Because we were supposed to go in March of last year. And we made the decision to go in March of last year in January of 2020. So we had 2 months to get excited for it. And then COVID happened. And we, at the last minute, decided not to go. Do you remember that?
I do.
Mid-March.
Was it hard to reschedule it? Like, did they give you a hard time about
well,
that?
Well, they weren't going to refund us.
Right. But then when you tried to redeem the dates?
They were like, you can kick it down the road a year.
So you just did that on the spot and then held on to that date?
They let us choose which weekend. And fortunately, they let us choose a holiday weekend.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. But they didn't when we, they didn't offer us lower rates or anything.
Right.
They didn't budge on that. And it's fine. So we were really excited to go last March. And then this year, basically we've been getting more and more excited for the last 6 months, you know, anticipating it, talking to each other about how badly we need a vacation.
You had never been to Jamaica before, right?
Never been. And not only that, dude, like, it was almost as if every fight that my girlfriend and I would have in the months leading up to this vacation would end with us being like, oh, we need our vacation. Like, we really need, we both knew we needed to go. So we had so much riding on this.
The stakes were high.
It was going to solve all our problems. It was going to be that breath of fresh air, that getaway. You know, everything we needed was going to be
romance,
fixed.
Everything dressing up for the first time in a year.
Yeah. No cares, you know, throwing the phone away, gazing into each other's eyes, just making out constantly, drinking rum drinks, frozen stuff, slathering each other up with sunscreen, you know, piping all the time, whatever, all that goodness. Yeah. And so when we arrived, right, first of all, there was so much crazy shit in terms of getting our COVID tests 3 days before.
So annoying.
Getting out to the airport. And keep in mind, we're not traveling much. So you, as I've said, you lose that travel awareness and kind of how much that sucks.
The comfort.
A lot of that slaps you in the face.
Yeah.
So we get on our plane, we fly down, and then we arrive. It's a 2-hour drive from the Montego Bay Airport to the resort.
That's crazy, dude. Is this like some boutique resort?
It's very boho chic.
That's sick.
Bohemian chic. That's sick. It's featured on that website, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Have you ever seen that website?
No, but that's like...
That's a website I will plug. That website
GQ type shit
is fucking awesome. They do boutique hotel listings that are sort of not big resorts, but that are very nice and luxe.
Yeah.
And you know, private is a big thing. That's where we found this resort.
Yeah.
That's
very cool.
We get there. We arrive on the property. They had told us that we would have a welcome drink, you know, waiting for us. And I'd seen a picture of it and it looked delicious.
And
it was called the Golden Eye.
Did that happen?
Well, we get in, you know, and you're wearing your clothing that you wore from New York. So it's pants and a shirt, and you're in Jamaica now, and it's 85 degrees.
Sticky.
So you're gross, and you want your fucking drink, and you want to get in the water as quickly as possible. It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They bring us to our room. We're walking through. We're like, this place is so cool, incredible. We had a beach hut. That was the place we had decided to stay. It was the lowest tier of their rooms, right? Because there was beach huts. And then there were lagoon huts, and then there were beach villas, and then the highest tier is the Ian Fleming Villa. Mm. And Ian Fleming wrote the James Bond novels, all 14 of them.
And didn't you say he wrote them there?
He wrote them there.
That's sick.
He wrote all of the James Bond novels, which were obviously made into movies, at this place. And that villa, his villa, he's dead, is now available for rent for the lowly cost of $12,000 a night. But we got to tour it. It's the sickest house I've ever seen in my life.
Nobody was there?
They came on Friday or Saturday, so we toured it on Thursday.
I was thinking it's like the Kapua Suite, remember, from Sarah Marshall?
It is.
Like, no one stays there.
Dude, this place is hard to describe. It has its own private beach. You've got your own private butlers and bartenders. There's a bar down at your little beach. It's a private cove beach, so nobody can see in and out of your beach. You've got 4 bedrooms in the main house and then 2 separate private huts that have their own beds and stuff. That's obviously cool.
For the kids.
You've got your own chef. And, you know, they were telling us, like, Kylie Jenner stayed there the week before. Lauren Michaels spent 2 weeks there over New Year's. There's a private airport 5 minutes away. So very rich and famous people fly into that and stay at the villa on the property, and because they love the privacy. So a lot of celebrities flock to this super fancy
Makes sense.
Place. We just toured it. we were in the lowest end, which, by the way, was still $860 a night after taxes and fees.
Jesus.
$860 a night. I only say that to set you up for why I still am not sure how to feel about this trip.
That's a lot of money. So here's the thing that I am assuming you might say, and I can understand why this would be a grievance, but it's like during COVID, these like boot, quote unquote, boutique hotels aren't as well set up, it seems like, for a COVID situation, i.e. you saying that only one of the three restaurants was open or whatever, which may be the advantage of staying at like a bigger place, even though it's not as sick. There's more options still, even though it's COVID.
Completely agree. Completely agree.
Makes sense.
I mean, this place was so quiet and so dead that it almost felt like they probably laid off or furloughed a lot of their staff.
Right.
Which meant that rather than having a surplus of people to bring you towels or drinks or food to help you with anything you needed, it was hard to get someone to help you out.
Right, right.
And that's frustrating when you're spending totally. That much money.
Totally.
And not only that, you know, as I said, they didn't lower the cost. We added a night. Last year, we were only supposed to go for four nights. This year, we went for five. We added a night because we said, we've been waiting for this so long. You know, we've got our done our COVID stuff. Like, if we're committing this much to it, we might as well stay for five nights.
And at least it was ultimately a sunk cost. Like, tacking on that extra night after you spent that money already a year ago, like, isn't as painful.
So that was my mentality,
right?
And in addition, by adding another night, we went five nights. They said, you're now eligible for this special we're running where you get $500 back. You get $100 per day back for your incidentals, so for meals and stuff. So I kind of thought in my head, well, even though it's another $860, $500 back,
yeah,
our meals are, it's really going to chip into our meals.
Yeah.
Boy, was I wrong.
Oh, was it expensive?
Dude. So this is why, again, I don't mean to throw that. I know that number is egregious. First of all, we hadn't been on a vacation together in 2.5 years. So the last one we went on was in France, right?
Dude, that was right at the beginning of the podcast. Yeah. Back when this podcast was called Whoops.
That's
you
right.
You guys don't even fucking know about that shit.
Yeah.
Back when it was called Whoops.
That's right.
Oops is way better than Whoops.
Oops is so much
better.
As
the dust has settled. Whoops sounds
whoops
like...
is childish.
It sounds like a sex mistake that's like onomatopoeia.
Like... Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
So I guess it wasn't 2.5 years ago then. It must have been 2 years.
It was a while ago,
though.
A
year and a half. I don't know. Whatever. As long as we've been... A long time. We haven't been on a vacation. So...
You deserved it.
We were really excited, all of this. And as I said, we get there, we go to our hut, and it's been called a beach hut. It was not on the beach. It was... in the middle of the resort, like overlooking the kiddie pool.
Surrounded by concrete.
Yeah. In a heavily trafficked area. You know, they had the rooms were pretty sick. They were kind of these large, the ceiling was like a teepee structure almost.
Mm.
And it was big. And then you had this additional sort of outdoor bed area.
I know exactly the setup. I've been to a place like similar, like not there obviously, but like you, it's like a hut, but it's like a hotel room and it's like circular.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, but then they had these offshoot little daybed areas outside that you could go onto, but our daybed in that first room, you had no privacy. You were in full view of like the kiddie pool and sort of the pool area or one of the pool areas. And we were just so excited about the privacy.
Right.
And I thought we were going to be on the beach or have like an ocean view. There was no view.
No sex on the patio. Either.
Yeah, exactly. And so immediately I was like, man, you know, is there any chance that we can change rooms? And look, I hate to be that fucking guy, you know, but we had put so much into this and our hopes were so high that I said, like, can we change? And fortunately, because we were there on Wednesday, we were checking in, we were able to switch to a different room.
Oh, that's good.
And the room they brought us to, for the same price, was so much better.
That's really good.
So much better. It was a 30% happiness increase.
That's really, really good. I think, dude, already, you know, props to the hotel for accommodating.
Props to the hotel. So props to the hotel for that. The new room we had, instead of having the first room we had, you know, a really nice big indoor shower or whatever. The new room we had had no indoor shower, but had our own bamboo wall covered outdoor bathroom.
Sick.
With an outdoor shower that came out of this big bamboo pole. It's hard to describe how cool. Sick this outdoor shower was. And it was because it was huge. I mean, it was like the outdoor bathroom area was bigger than this room we're in. And then our little daybed area was right on the ocean.
Oh,
and
nice.
There were reeds on both sides. So you just had this tunnel vision right out to the ocean. You know, our driver had hooked us up. I had bought 6 joints from his Rastafarian grower friend on the way in. And I would just go out there and smoke weed and look out at the ocean. And I was very happy.
How were you able to get really high? Was the weed like...
The weed was... it was a lot less powerful.
Right. You can smoke a fat joint.
It was nice, though.
Yeah, I know.
It made me think that the weed in America has gone a little too far.
It's too heady. Like, you get too... Like, in Jamaica, you, like, smoke that shit, and it doesn't change your, like, mindset.
Yeah.
You just chill.
Dude, if I drink a lot, and then I smoke my weed from Maine now, I throw up. That's been happening a lot lately.
Has that happened more than once?
Yeah. Every time I have friends over for poker,
crossfade.
That's what happens.
Jesus. I remember the first time.
Yeah, it happened
Francis
a couple of times.
Fall from grace. Guys, if you're thinking about starting a podcast, fill in the blanks here. If I were in a concert right now, and I said, if you're thinking about starting a podcast, I'd then turn the microphone to all of you sitting in the stadium, and you would all yell, anchor, anchor. And then you'd say, go to anchor.fm to download the software where you could host your very own podcast, see all the best analytics. You could see it in a way that was really user-friendly and nice and not too technical and industry jargony. It's a way that any person can look at it and be like, ooh, that's pretty. And also it's our podcast. And there's no minimum listenership required to advertise and monetize. So you can immediately have ads when you hit the ground running. It's really exciting, really spectacular. If you want to start your very own podcast, anchor.fm, download it now. So, dude, this begs the question: what is the move? Is the move to stay at the really sick hotel at like the lowest level room, or to stay at a slightly worse hotel and have like the middle of the road room?
Oh, it's a good question.
And one thing that adds to this that's important: you mentioned how expensive the food was. You have to assume at a place that's a step down, the food is also a step down in price. But maybe also in quality. I don't know. It's really an interesting give or take.
So this is, before I answer this, mm-hmm. I need to tell you that the thing that was really underwhelming and disappointing about this resort was the food.
Elaborate.
Okay. They had, you know, a menu. It was very small. All the entrees were like $30 to $35 U.S.,
a lot.
And they did not deserve to be that expensive.
Even the pool menu?
Whatsoever. Yeah. Like the lunch menu, you'd get like a $25, $26 entree.
Like a burger was $26?
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't... There was one night where they did... one night where they did a barbecue. I guess on Saturday nights, the resort always does a barbecue. And they... really went in on it. They had guys doing jerk chicken. They had a goat or lamb or whatever.
Dope.
Full lamb. They had a pig. They had, you know, all these different desserts. They had a whole dessert table. Sick. 10 different desserts. And I was so angry by this point. That was on Saturday night. We had been there since Wednesday night. I was so angry by the poor quality of the food and how much money we were spending that I decided to take revenge against the resort by eating as much of the buffet as I possibly could. Like, I thought that I could get back at them, that I could get our value back on that one night.
Taking plates of pig back to your room.
The amount of food I ate was so disgusting. It was so disgusting. It was as if I was eating for a season, like a bear.
Did you feel terrible?
I felt horrible. Felt horrible, man. But funny. I was mad by that point. Here's the thing. Okay, this is why I'm not just telling you that it was the greatest vacation of all time and that I still have mixed feelings, right? We had to pay for our breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 5 days in a row. We would never go out to breakfast, lunch, and dinner 5 days in a row in New York City. And adjusting to that on vacation was something I could not get on board with.
Yeah, it's hard, especially when you're at the resort. Like, you can't go to the store and buy like cereal.
You can't
do, you know what I mean?
You can't skip a meal.
You're fucked. Yeah.
You can't bring something back for the room and just be like, let's just have a light lunch of yogurt and fruit or some shit.
Yeah. And especially for a guy who always eats breakfast, you're just getting fleeced.
Dude, it was
fucking $75
for breakfast. By Friday, I was like, they just hand you the bill. They hand you the bill. Every meal, they're handing you a little bill on a clipboard. And I got to tell you, I hate to say it, you know, day one, day two, you're excited to be there. You're tipping. You're like, tipping, happy to be here. Thanks for all you guys are the best.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Thanks, dude.
By Friday, I was like doing the math. I was like, what is the minimum? Because they add 10%. So I was just like hitting, I was calculating 10% on top of that. And 20% was the max that I was giving.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, listen, you know, it was a great vacation, but I really had a hard time. I got sick of spending money.
You were adding gratuity on top of the gratuity.
Well, it was 10% that they included, so I felt like I should add another 10% to get to 20.
I know that when I was in the Bahamas, anytime like the gratuity was included, but Hillary didn't realize that, so I noticed like halfway through the trip that she had been adding 20% on top of the already.
Ugh.
I was like, what are you doing?
It's so bad. Like, but that's what they do it for that reason.
Yeah.
They just expect that a lot of people are going to come in there, be having such a nice time, that they're not going to look carefully at the bill.
Which is a nice thing, maybe.
It is. But by Friday, dude, I was pouring over that thing with a fucking monocle.
So this is advice that I have to anybody who goes on this kind of vacation. When they give you the credit that you're talking about, you have to check when you, like, take 20 minutes when you check out to look through your bill and make sure they give you the credit, because a lot of the time they forget.
They said that they did, and I looked at the bill very, very carefully.
Yeah, which is a good.
But there was no, like total and then minus $500 and then new amount. It just was all the charges and then minus $500 and then the amount.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I had to trust
easier
them.
Easier to.
I guess, but I didn't know what it all added up to. I mean, right, theoretically, right, I could right, just right. add it 500, whatever. The point is this, dude.
Bittersweet.
I was so sick of spending money and so, I guess, feeling like I had been missing out on work and opportunities to make more money that by Sunday, I was ready for a vacation from the vacation.
Two steps in the wrong direction.
And I wanted to come back and get my life back under control.
Did you work out?
I did two of the days.
So, dude,
it was so humid, and they had just like this outdoor bullshit jungle gym.
When's the last time you enjoyed a vacation?
I don't know, man. I like, just don't think I like vacations.
And yeah, it sounds like you just don't like vacation. I mean, for France, that you had a reason to be.
Yeah, but I look back and I feel like I enjoyed France more than I enjoyed this trip.
Are you one of those guys who'd rather be on a work trip than just a vacation trip? Is that part of it? Or, I mean, it sounds like you have specific reasons why you didn't like this one. Maybe you're just getting unlucky.
I honestly think I might be somebody who would enjoy like one of those all-inclusive places.
They supposedly have really nice ones.
Even though I know the quality is supposed to be less.
They supposedly have good ones. I've never been to one.
I might be a cruise ship kind of guy. Do you think I would like a cruise?
I'm not sure.
You just pay for everything up front and then just go to town?
It's unclear. I don't know. The cruise thing, it's like, if you get sick of the boat, like...
I might get sick of
the boat. But who knows? I mean, they're pretty big. Like, I've never been on one of those either. We should go on a cruise, all of us.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
I like to make fun of people who take cruises. Are you tired of not knowing what to wear from the hot springs in Jackson Hole back to your log cabin?
I sure am.
Are you sick of the fact that your skin doesn't get wicked the moisture as much as you'd like?
How do you know all this stuff about me?
Are you one guy who doesn't want to know if the moisture is being wicked or if you're being thermally regulated?
I want to be wicked.
Julia, well, I have got the robe for you. Plover robes are the answer.
Plover robes, baby.
Moisture wicking, thermoregulating, perfect for the distance from the log cabin to the hot springs in Jackson Hole and back.
And they're just fun.
They are fun.
Look at these fun designs,
They've got a great theme song, a very handsome guy who helped start the company.
Who has a great voice.
Great voice. Very sing-songy and very kind of Irish bar jig.
Very Irish bar jig.
Yeah. We love the Plover robes. They are absolutely a fantastic gift for the man or woman in your life as we head into the warmer months.
It's just a fun gift, especially like for any level of relationship, like a new person, it's a great gift. It's like a fun novelty item. Yeah. It's a great thing to just have on board.
Mm-hmm.
And to just come, if you're at a party and you run into your bathroom, or if you have a party, and you run into your bathroom, and you come out wearing only this. You're the fucking MVP.
You're getting in hand jobs.
Yes, you're getting
so,
hand jobs. Dude, that's in the song. For banging out your buddy's wife.
Yes, is it? I don't know the lyrics. And I refuse to learn them because I just like to mouth it and pretend I know them. They're a great price point. You can go to ploverrobes.com right now /oops. Use promo code oops and you'll get 15% off, which you don't even need because they're not expensive. But if you do that, you should do it right now because they do go fast. Ploverrobes.com/oops, promo code oops, get your plover robe.
Well, dude, I have a question for you about the resort. Someone emailed us about this and I thought that this was actually a good question. The question is, when you post up for the day by the water, do you post up primarily by the beach or by the pool and why?
Good question. We were posting up by the pool because of its proximity to the bar and the restaurant.
I agree that the pool is a superior place to post up, and I have reasoning, but I would love to hear yours first.
Well, the way this place was set up, you could run to the beach really quickly and then also just be right back. I mean, it was all right there. They had multiple beaches and multiple pools.
Great, but still, but you made the conscious choice to sit by the pool and not on the beach. Is there a reason that you can put your finger on?
I think we thought that the being closer to the bar and all of that was more important. I don't know exactly. It just became our spot.
Totally. I definitely agree that posting up by the pool is the move. And the reason is sand.
Yeah.
If you eat your fucking salad on the beach, you just end up with sand in it somehow. You know what I mean? Like sand is a pain in the ass. Like you can't really fuck around with your phone because of sand. Like there's just sand. Yeah. And by the pool, like you get near, like right past the beach area. They have those little hoses for your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You hose down and you fucking sit by the pool like a civilized person.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do all your shit there. You can still dip in the ocean, like you said. Mm-hmm. You can go for walks up and down the beach, but you post up at the pool.
I liked being by the pool. You know, I'm sorry to our listeners that I am not more positive about this trip. But to your point, dude, I don't know where we could have gone. I think maybe this was an eye-opening trip where I'm not really a vacation guy.
Maybe not.
I was immediately sad, not sad, but feeling FOMO for work.
Right.
I felt.
But that's not a positive thing necessarily.
No, it's bad.
Yeah. Like that is maybe something that you need to work on.
You know, I'm out there. I'm like, fuck, I don't have any good social media content. I'm not keeping up on my channels. I'm not doing anything. I'm losing step with my audience. I'm not finding ways to make money to counteract. I just felt like I was moving backwards because of how much money we were spending.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. So that's all, but none of that's true. So that's like an important realization, I think. Like, that's not true. Like, you were funny on social media. You were posting shit.
I did. Yeah, but you remember that. That was just, I just one day of two or three stories. That was it.
Totally.
I didn't even post like a full post.
But you've been pretty active still. I understand that impulse. And I think that COVID, for me at least, and I'm not saying that my perspective is better. But like it has shown me that feeling of FOMO with work is bullshit. Like when I thought I need to be at a comedy show tonight, I need to be like, no, you don't. You know what I mean? I get what you mean. And I get that you're like I'm spending money. I'm not making money. I'm not moving my career forward. I have things I want to be doing and could be doing. But like, balance is important too, or you'll like hate work eventually, you know?
Of course. Of course. You're absolutely right. I think also the nature of what we do, right? I have a few projects that are in development, and not everybody that I'm working with is aware that I'm on vacation, right? Mm-hmm. So my immediate job knows, and they're not going to hound me for stuff. Bro Bible, they know that I'm not, that I'm gone.
Yeah.
And let me be. But other people are hitting, it always seems to be the case that the moment you go on vacation,
right, you get all these,
other people are like, yo, you know,
send me an outline.
Yeah. What's the latest? Like, we need to update. Can we get on a call? Can we do this? And you're like, you don't want to be the guy being like, yo, I just took a vacation for 5 days.
Right.
Even though a lot of those people that I'm, you know, working with on stuff, they have gone missing for 2 week vacations themselves. And I've been like, all right, I guess I can't, you know, work on this thing with you now until you get back from whatever you're doing.
But dude, there's something powerful about putting people on your schedule still. You know what I mean? Like, I understand you still did it. You got it. And this isn't necessarily even the point of what you're saying. I understand that. But like, you know, it doesn't mean you have to respond right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way that they didn't respond right away.
Yeah. True. You're right. Look, I don't like being not in control of my daily schedule. And I fear that this has become almost a neurotic.
Right. It's compulsion. Like sounding like an OCD kind of thing.
I, you know, being able to make the breakfast and the lunch that I want, being able to work out the way that I want.
Totally.
You know, you're doing your best when you're on vacation. And most people, I think, can just settle in and say, like, I don't need to work out for a couple of days. I'm going to have a few more drinks. I'm going to start drinking earlier than I'd like to. All that. This is, you know, this is all part and parcel of the vacation. But for me, I know that my happiness and my sleep is so intertwined with eating well and working out. And, you know, it was so fucking humid that working out was just a nightmare. 5 minutes in, you're sopping with sweat, and that makes you not want to do the workout. And you know, the lunches, you're like trying to find something with a vegetable or something that's not going to make you feel horrible.
Yeah.
And I kind of like put one foot in the pool and kept one out, so it was almost worse, where, you know, I'd be like, fuck it, I'm gonna start drinking Red Stripes at 4 p.m and I would, but I wouldn't get hammered.
Yeah.
And then I would just feel kind of like that halfway drunk that's shitty. And I don't know, there was like some
wedding day two at the wedding drunk.
Yeah,
where you don't actually get drunk.
Yeah.
Just too many lobster tails in your fucking belly, you just feel like ass.
It was tough, man. I don't know why. I don't think I'm a vacation guy. It's sad to me.
That's sad to hear. What, you'll catch your vacation stride one of these days. You'll have a good one.
Maybe. Maybe I will.
Well, were you happy to be back? Did you breathe a sigh of relief?
I was so thankful. We got back to our apartment. I said, thank God. And we got back to our apartment in the middle of a fucking freezing rainstorm. And I was so relieved to be here as we were slushing our way through the streets.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being a homebody.
Your
dude.
Bed. Dude, that's the other thing. You know, the pillows aren't the right firmness. There was a bird that would just come alive in the middle of the night, screaming right outside our door. Nothing we can do. And we brought our noisemaker. There were tropical rainstorms that would come down, and they would be not pleasant. They were so loud. You know, waking up early, mosquito bites everywhere. Look at this. This is a mosquito bite.
Jesus.
I don't know, man. Like, I sound ridiculous.
It looks like a heroin needle wound.
Yeah.
Like gangrene or something. That looks terrible. That is terrible. Okay.
Chris and I shot this ridiculous like heroin needle vaccine sketch earlier today that we'll put out on Instagram, I'm sure. Look, I want to be more positive. I know I need to be. And my girlfriend was an absolute all-star. She got it. She embraced it. She was having a great time. Wasn't really put off. I will say I was probably more happy than I usually am.
That's good.
But I was expecting myself to be this loopy, carefree, happy-go-lucky guy.
Son of a gun, and you just weren't.
Yeah.
Glass half-empty Ellis, dude.
Sunburned, ornery dick.
You guys don't have overnight oats? Ah!
So
sorry, dude.
I don't know. I don't know. That was my vacation to Jamaica. That was it.
Well, dude, you know, you'll get them next time.
Here's a question I have. Okay. Do you think that in a place like Jamaica, or when you went to the Bahamas, that the staff at these resorts or hotels wants us to have a really good time?
It's funny. I feel like that's different depending everywhere that you go.
Exactly.
Sometimes you really feel like they've been brainwashed from a young age to think that, you know, tourism is this great thing and that you should be grateful that there are tourists. Therefore, they're sincerely happy to have you there. But there's also the, like, you just come to the place where I live for a couple days, feed off of it. There's resentment there. Like, you kind of worry about that dynamic sometimes,
the class
too.
Class divide.
That whole thing.
Serve me, the kind of all that bullshit.
Exactly. So it really depends, and it can be a person-to-person thing. But I'm always sniffing for that. I'm always like,
yeah.
Is this person really being this nice, or do they secretly fucking hate me?
Dude. This is exactly something that I was fascinated by and deluded myself about.
Yeah.
I was sitting at the bar. I was talking to this bartender, Romario. He was so great. He turns out he's a day trader of foreign currencies, and that's his real passion. But
it's like an Uber driver situation.
Yeah, exactly. We're having
I actually mine Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about all that shit, and I feel like I'm having this heart-to-heart with this guy, right? And then next to me, you know, this extremely overweight American older man who's just down from New York for 2 or 3 days by himself is coming up and being like, you know, let me get a piña colada.
Hey, Rosario, let me get a margarita.
And he's like, what's your name again? You know, and Romario's not really giving them the time of day. And now here I am, of course, thinking that by comparison, I am, you know, this friend of the bartender, that understand him, and that, oh, look, I'm not the ugly American to my left. I'm a better ambassador for our country. I'm improving the relationships. I'm improving his view of tourists. If only all of the guests could be as open-minded and as such good listeners as Francis is here. And then I stopped myself thinking that, because I was like, all this guy fucking cares about is who tips him more.
But maybe not, you know, but I like that you're like that. That's a good way to be, dude. It's good to make a good impression with people, not be a dick, carry the torch for the good from where you come from.
But I'm definitely not leaving a mark on this guy's mind the way that I think that I am.
That's okay. It's a cumulative thing. You know, that's
fine.
Narcissistic thing to be like, this guy'll never forget me.
Yeah, but here's the question, right? Let's say that ugly fat American guy leaves a 40% tip, and then I leave, you know, 20%. Who does Romario walk away from having a higher opinion of?
No, of course. Of course the person who tips more. But dude, a 20% tip, when they include the tip, that's the way that they tip. People aren't tacking on tip like you think. Like 10% gratuity included at resort, like I don't think you're supposed to tip on top of that. So probably everybody at the hotel loved you. is my guess.
I was tipping 10% on top to get it to 20.
I think that's highly unusual.
Dude, I'm telling you, this place was like, they had been charging $30 for entrees for so long. And you know, with guests like the fucking Jenners and whoever else.
Maybe
comes,
the Jenners double tip. But I think
money flies around this place.
Maybe, but I bet you that people aren't tipping like that on the bill. It would be my guess.
I had the idea you said, which was that I had changed a bunch of American cash.
Love it.
But dude, I ran through that in like three days.
Dude, you have that big stack and you start getting frisky.
Just $5 bills, lighting them on fire. Yeah, lighting them on fire like I'm an uncle in the mob.
Well, dude, you know what I think? And this is a thing that I'll say to anybody who's traveling, because sometimes I get in my head too. I don't want to be the gringo that everyone hates. Right. I remember when I was in the Dominican Republic, I told you guys that story when she was like, and I was like, uno. Like, I felt so embarrassed, and she rolled her eyes in my face, and I felt so embarrassed, and it like shook me for like a day. It ruined that day for me.
Yeah.
And if I could go back and tell myself something, I would say, dude, fuck that lady. Fuck these people. Mm-hmm. Fuck them. Who cares?
Right.
Literally, who gives a fuck what that guy thinks about you?
Right.
Oh, you don't like it that I'm here? Fuck you, dude. How about that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you allowed to enjoy yourself? Because some guy's judging you who you're never going to see again? You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Like, that is something that I would tell me next time that I'm like, oh, I hope this guy likes me.
All right. Well, so here's the question. What do you get for what you pay? What can you expect?
Whatever you're buying. You know, a burger, you get a burger. That's
no,
it.
But I mean, okay, I'm saying specific to a vacation resort, right? Let's say that you pay for the minimum amount of buy-in. You know, you get the lowest rate room, you're tipping the sort of expected minimum, and you are all that. Like, what do you get?
Well, dude,
get smiles and fast service and you know, free room upgrades and all that shit?
Like, maybe or maybe not.
Or do they just treat you like you are the bottom feeder at the resort?
So, dude, I think, I don't know if this is answering that question, but I think there's a way to treat people with respect and dignity without, like, pandering or being, like, patronizing. I feel like almost by giving a wait person, like a wait staff person, too much attention, you're, like, being patronizing. Like, there doesn't need to be some guilt. You're like, oh, this guy's like, he has a, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with his job? His life's probably better than yours. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like, there's no reason to be like on your tippy toes around people. It just like makes this weird dynamic. You know what I mean? Just be like, to give the guy the tip he deserves. He doesn't deserve more unless he fucking blows you or something. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to give him 50% tip. You don't have to go above and beyond. The reason that system exists, the tip's built in, so there's no awkwardness. They try to take that element out. If somebody does an exceptional job, you can give him more. But there's no, you know, he's not going to side-eye you if you don't. And if he does, that guy's an asshole.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. I agree with that.
Overly harsh or whatever.
I think that that's totally fair. I have this internal struggle, which I think I've always had and is a product of my dad.
That's a good, internal struggle, though, dude.
Of wanting to come to a place and give a good impression.
It's great.
And be a friend of, you know, and make it so clear that I don't think that because you're bringing me a drink that I somehow think I'm better than you. But I go over the top.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. By going over the top, you almost are reinforcing.
Being worse.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah,
You're creating that dynamic by doing it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Just accept the drink, throw your tip, and then go back to, you know, not giving a shit. I wish that I could.
Dude, I have a good story for you.
Bring it on.
So I went to California, stayed with my girlfriend's family. I rented a car, which was a move that I didn't need to do, but it's just the move. Like, you're staying with your girlfriend's family. You know, hey, you think I can use the car? It's just the move to rent a fucking car. So I went on this crazy road day trip, surprise, surprise, to the Mojave Desert. And I did this hike by myself. And
Jesus Christ, dude.
It was called, the hike is called the Kelso Dunes hike, and it is up a sand mountain. So it's this steep, these dunes are gigantic. They're like thousands of feet, steep sand mountain. So you can imagine hiking up a steep sand mountain is really fucking hard.
Yeah.
So your feet are sinking in. It's like twice as hard.
You got to go diagonally.
Yes.
Zigzag, right?
You got to do all that kind of shit to like find a secret. I was dying by the time I got to the top. I got to the top. And something really cool and unique you're able to do when you're at the top of a steep sand mountain. Now, if you were to run down a normal mountain, what would happen? You'd fall.
Yeah.
Fall, you couldn't tumble. Do it. You wouldn't be able to maintain the speed or whatever. And you'd tumble and you'd fall and you'd fucking die, right?
Yeah. You'd have tons of sand in your mouth.
Dude, this was so cool because that didn't happen because you sink into the sand. So you could jump like 5 feet at a time and your feet would just go down to like almost your knee in sand. So you could like bound down the mountain like you're fucking Spider-Man. Dude, it was so cool.
Like you're the BFG.
Dude, I saw this exactly. Like you're the BFG. I saw these people watching me from a distance, dude. These old people. They were like blown away by what I was doing. Like, this guy's so sick. Like, what's he? I was just.
All right. So how long did it take you to get to the top?
A while. It must have taken an hour and a half at least.
Oh, so you only got one go at the down.
Yeah. Oh, it was too much. It was too much work.
One
to go
run.
Yeah. I would have liked to do it again in a perfect world.
Well, maybe they should get a chairlift.
Maybe they should.
Now, I gasped when you said that you were going to do this hike alone because my mind immediately went to 120 27 hours. And you being off alone hiking. I mean, at what point are you putting yourself in danger?
So I'm not like a cowboy about this. Like, I would never go on some like not marked hike alone. So this is, it's the desert. So you can see your car in the parking lot.
Oh,
okay. You know what I mean? There's no rocks. There's no like, it's not something dangerous like that. I would never do a dangerous hike by myself. And there have been times where I've started one and I've turned around and gone back to the car.
Smart.
I'm not like overly brave about this kind of shit.
Yeah.
But it was a nice time. And it's funny. Her dad was busting my balls because he listened to the podcast about when I talked about going golfing with him and his buddy Stan.
Yeah.
And that other guy, which, you know, he still talks about. I didn't play golf this time. And he goes, I don't blame you. And then he was like, the listeners want part two, dude. Come on, golfing with the dad part two. What the fuck? I played tennis with her mom, which is kind of like part two.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in the car, she's like, I feel like I'm not really giving you anything that funny to talk about. And I'm like,
oh, what? No.
And I'm like, you're right, actually. I'm like, this went very well.
Perfectly normal and lovely.
This is a completely normal time.
Yeah.
But there is something nice about the like stay with your girlfriend's family trip. It's funny, all these different kinds of trips. We've talked about this. The adventure trip, the vacation, conventional vacation, like you went on. And then there's the like, staying with your girlfriend and her family.
Yeah.
And I've stayed with them enough now that I'm like pretty comfortable and
yes,
had a nice time.
Yes. Well, it's amazing how the parents of your girlfriend, how they are the ones who set the tone for the comfort level.
Very true.
Because I've dated people whose parents, whether they knew it or not, just were not making me comfortable. And it's not as if I deserved to be made uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, I wasn't some shitty kid.
Right. Their shit was just getting in the way.
Yeah. Like, their neuroses. You know, and it starts with, I'm trying to think, you know, I've dated people where the parents wanted us to sleep in separate bedrooms. Which is so old fashioned, you know, and if that's where you're starting, then you're already starting off from a place of feeling less comfortable, mainly because you just feel like they don't want you around their daughter. There's something about that separation.
Dude, it's just weird, dude.
Yeah.
Like, were you in high school when this happened?
No, I think it was like college.
Yeah, it's just weird.
You know? There's that, and then there's, you know, I remember when I was younger, I never really could get on board with the fact that her dad would be paying for all these dinners.
Oh, right.
And I always felt like I should be contributing.
Yeah, and then there's that awkward moment where you actually like reach for your wallet and everyone looks at you like, what
like
the fuck
you're
are
an
you
ass.
Doing, dude?
Yeah, you're making. Yeah, and eventually you get past that and you get on board, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Did I ever tell you that? I think I've told you this. Maybe I've even said it on the podcast that I dated a girl whose dad really did not approve of my dream of becoming a comedian.
You have briefly talked about it.
And he likened it to becoming a ski bum before a couple Dude. Years until I found my way.
That's really upsetting. Fuck that guy, formally. Right?
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah. Hilarious. Yeah, they're not listening. That's for sure. All right.
Dude, I got one more thing.
Yeah, hit me.
So this is something I was thinking about that I'm really relieved. So the apartment process is moving along.
Nice.
We're looking like, barring some identity theft that we were unaware of, we're going to get the apartment.
Huge.
So very excited, very excited. But the thing that I am the most excited for, I stay over my girlfriend's place a lot. I'm older than, she has two roommates. I'm significantly older than everyone in the apartment. Mm. And when I go to the bathroom in her apartment, even if it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, I put all my clothes on because I don't want to be the like older dude who's like, I'm in my underwear. I'm 10 years older than everybody in my underwear. That's weird as fuck, dude.
I get that. I understand. I think you'd probably be fine if you're such a fixture, you know?
So this is the thing. Spencer, who is her roommate's boyfriend, great guy. He has seniority over me. He's been around longer, but he's also younger. So he's fucking walking around in his boxers like
with
it's
a jar of peanut butter and a spoon.
Like he's
eating it.
Like he just got out of a fucking orgy or something. Yeah. He's just walking around, no shirt on. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. He's like Prince Charming in the apartment. I'm the old boyfriend. Fucking hey guys, you guys need beer? I can get you whatever. It's just fucking whack, dude. So I'm happy to be able to just be naked.
How often do you and Spencer end up spending the night on the same night?
Not often, and that's another thing that makes me self-conscious, that I stay over more than he does.
But that's silly, Julio. That's you. Because
that's me, you're right. But it's,
you know, you, there's no reason why you don't deserve to sleep there as often, if not more than he does.
I'm totally entitled to being able to stay over regularly, but I sometimes just feel like being the older dude staying at your girls too much, it can get weird.
Fair.
Even though Spencer's the man.
Well, this is why I've been encouraging you to get your own place for so long.
Yeah, it's helpful. My current situation is less like significant other friendly than hers is. It's still fine. She comes over, it's no big deal, but like it's just easier to go to hers.
Oh, I know. I'm saying the two of you moving in together will absolve you of so many of those, you
know,
things that make you self-conscious or feel unwelcome or whatever the hell it is.
Totally. I mean, the initial shock of kind of forking over all this cash is like a little brutal, but you know, once that is over and it's just paying month to month, it's not going to be a big deal and
yeah,
should be sweet. So
cool, man. Awesome. I'm excited for you. That's awesome. And that's Hoops the Podcast. We are here every Tuesday and Thursday, as you guys know. stay tuned for this Thursday's episode. And follow our YouTube, Oops the Podcast. Send us emails at oopsthepodcast@gmail.com. I'm Francis and he's Julio, and we'll see you soon.